Page 1, Editor's Page by Judy Wilkinson. I can hardly remember what happened last week, much less events from the mid to late 1970s, when the California Council of the Blind, then an NFB affiliate, ceased to be part of that organization. During those tumultuous months, I attended meetings, was involved in strategy sessions, took actions, but it sometimes seems as if those things happen to another person. Someone will say, surely you remember the NFB board meeting in Los Angeles when a bunch of us walked out. Well, vaguely. Well, you must remember those meetings in San Francisco when, well, remind me. In fact, Winifred Downing did remind me, which is part of a point I'm getting around to in a few paragraphs. My observation is that memory is fragile and fickle. Things so important at the moment shift in our perspective over time, but so long as records exist or people who were there are available to remind us, I could, if necessary, reconstruct the main details of those decades-old events. This is why, as an organization, we need to preserve our institutional memory. Institutional memory starts with good records and good record retrieval mechanisms. Page 2. To me, good record keeping begins with good minutes. Taking good minutes is an art. Today we can record our proceedings, which provides a good backup option, but short of going to archival material, which may in fact not exist for local chapter meetings and other organizational committees and subcommittees, minutes provide the key to our institutional memory. Having taken minutes for dozens of meetings, I suggest good minutes do two things. They clearly delineate action items, and they provide a sense of the discussion leading up to those actions. Who is going to do what, when, and how did we lead up to deciding the action? Psst, a word to minutes takers. Do as I say, not as I have done all too often in the past. Write your minutes as soon as possible following the proceedings. Ideally, work from a recording of the event, as the strain of taking notes on the fly produces anxiety, and besides, you might miss something. Trust me, nothing is worse than going back to cold notes the night before the minutes are wanted. Second, we need to know where those records are. This is perhaps more of a problem for statewide affiliates, which rarely meet, but I know for a fact that I have taken minutes, read them at the next meeting, and turned them over for official preservation to no one. This is sloppy record-keeping at best, and possibly illegal at worst. We must be vigilant in knowing where our precious records are and how to access them. Page 3. The other way to preserve our institutional memory is to talk with the people who were there. The value of the history articles Catherine Skivers wrote upon the occasion of CCB's 75th anniversary is incalculable. I've been giving a lot of thought to expanding upon this notion of preserving institutional memory. Just as Japan honors the people it considers its national treasures, so I propose we honor and learn from our CCB treasures. To that end, we begin a series of interviews in this issue, which we will publish from time to time as space permits. Our first treasure interview is with Winifred Downing, the editor of the BC, for 10 years. Earlier I mentioned the value of revisiting important documents as an example of why such documents are so important. We publish again the editor's column Wynne wrote for the winter 2005 issue of the BC. Her comments are as timely today as they were then. Attention to our history gives us unique insight into how to address old and new problems.